Take your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the last that we'll talk about the topic of heaven on a Wednesday night Bible study. But I want to help you tonight. I don't know. I've rewritten the title about a half a dozen times. I'm still not settled on it, but you're stuck with it. What will we know in heaven? What will we know in heaven is what I'm going to call it tonight. Basically, I want to talk about what kind of knowledge will we have when we get there. And that will intrigue some of you, and I think it will surprise many of you. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's start reading in verse number 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I hate that verse. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, listen to me for a minute. We're going to use our Bibles, okay? Get your thumbs greased up or out of your nose or something or other. But we have this idea that when we get to heaven, we're going to have all knowledge and all understanding about everything. It's not true. You won't know everything when you get to heaven. I really do hate to disappoint you, but you don't become the all-knowing God just because you died and went to heaven. God is the only one that is omniscient.
That's right.
We don't become omniscient when we get to heaven. We don't become omnipotent or omnipresent because we go to heaven. That means when you get to heaven, you won't have all knowledge and all understanding. Now, when we die or we go up in the rapture, we don't become God. For us to know everything, we would have to become God. Okay, everybody following me so far? I know that that is different than what you're told, but hang on for just a second. We will not die and become as knowing, as wise, and intellectual as God. Death is a penalty of sin and happens because of sin. Man didn't know everything when he was created in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2.
Right.
And yet man was without sin. Man learned when he was sinless. Everybody understand that? Okay, so when God created man, man was not created with all knowledge. He was created without sinful knowledge. He didn't have a knowledge of sin. But when man sinned, death, hell, and a corruption on the mind and a knowledge of sin, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Intellectualism is a satanic, cursed mentality because it's all based on sin. Anything that is not based on truth is not based on God.
Right.
Religion not based on truth is of the devil.
Yes, sir.
I have no problem saying that the Pope is the vicar of hell.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Say why? Because his religion's based on something other than that book right there.
That's right.
Any man of God that gets up and says, well, you can use whatever version you want. I don't care if they're Southern Baptist, Northern Baptist, Independent Baptist. I don't care if they're Presbyterian, Mesmerian, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, Apostolic, you name it. It doesn't matter. If it's not the true word of God, it's of the devil.
Amen.
Period.
Yes, sir.
I don't care what religion it is. So man was not created with all knowledge. He was created with the ability to learn, but his mind was created in Genesis chapter 1 with no sin. Not until he sinned did he get the knowledge of sin and evil. All right. Now follow with me for just a second here. Therefore, he was in a process of learning and needed God to teach him. Having a body that is sinless and cannot sin does not mean that you become all-knowing. Just because you do not sin does not make you all-knowing. To close your eyes here in death does not mean you open them in heaven with perfect understanding. It's not going to happen. You're not going to wake up in heaven with perfect knowledge. Now, we read just a moment ago in 1 Corinthians 13 that we know in part, and when that which is perfect is come, that's the rapture, then we will be made perfect. That word perfect doesn't, it means complete. Okay? Those hands are perfect hands. They have five fingers. They have all the bones in there. They all, for the most part, work like they're supposed to. They're getting to the age where it hurts to work them, but that is a perfect set of hands because it has all of the same members. I gotta tell this. There's something genetic about Bush male counterparts. A couple years ago, my son Jeff stuck his finger in the lawnmower and clipped the end of that puppy off, and he got it sewed back together. Of course, I did my little routine with the chainsaw on my knee and the blade. Then just before my dad went to Florida, I was trimming some stuff at his house, and he grabbed into my chainsaw blade with the side of his hand and chewed it up real good. My brother sent me a picture on Monday. He said, "Look what I did with my brand new table saw that I got on Black Friday." And he was pushing a piece of wood in and caught the end of his middle finger, and it ground the end of his finger off and tore the whole nail all the way off, clear down into the back into here. Oh, Josh has done some wing dingers too, trust me. He's cut himself with box knives and fell off roofs, and yeah, you don't even want to go there. Don't give him anything sharper than a butter knife. It's genetic, I'm telling you, all right? It was hilarious. But I've been praying for him, and I said, "How you feel?" He said, "Good, they numbed it up. I'm not sure how it's going to feel when the numbness goes off." I said, "You stay up on the pain meds." He said, "Oh, I'm playing on it." He said, I have pictures if you men want to see it. But it was a good one. Now, just because you are not sinning doesn't mean you know everything. Now, God says then that which is perfect, when it's come, it's complete. That word perfect means complete. Look at verse 12. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." Does that mean we know everything? We just see it more clearly, right? Watch this. "And now I know in part, but then I shall I know even as also I am known." Let me give you... Okay, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to know more about this book than I know right now. If I didn't learn it, just because I went to heaven doesn't mean I'm going to know what it is. I will lose the ability to sin. And I'll lose the ability to think sinful and evil thoughts. And all of those will be erased. But I will be known as I am known here. The knowledge I have here that is not sinful, the knowledge that I have here that is not pertaining to sin, evil, and death will be gone. We think that we're going to remember what our past life was in heaven. You'll have no knowledge of sin. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll get into that in a moment here. But just because I die doesn't mean I go to heaven and I have this book memorized and I know everything about it. Some of you are going to be disappointed when the television set isn't in heaven. Some of y'all are going to be upset that some of the books that you read won't be there. Now, I'm not saying that everything you read is sinful, but some people read things they shouldn't read. Picture this. Somebody that is saved, but they're carnal. What does carnal mean? Fleshly. So your carnal knowledge, your fleshly knowledge will be faded away. Your spiritual knowledge will be retained. Knowledge based on truth will be retained. Now, that person that's addicted to television and can't get through a day without watching their show. Imagine the rapture taking place during their show. And they're going to look up and say, hey, who's got television around here? They're not going to know any more than they knew just because they went to heaven. Everybody understand that? Now, their ability to want to think and desire sinful things, that will be gone. But they're not going to enter heaven knowing any more than they know right now. That means we will learn in heaven. I'll show you that here in a minute. Now, let me give you, I have three things I want to say to you tonight, but we're going to use our Bibles. You ready? Our earthly body has a curse of death. Take your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Just a few pages over, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. Sounds like we shouldn't trust a pope, huh? But in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Wow. So our body has a sentence of death on it. As it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. We are all going to die. This body has a sentence of death. Doesn't matter if you live just hours after conception, hours after birth. If you die in the womb, well, you didn't, but someone would, or if you live to be 125 years old, there is a sentence of death on our body. Everybody understand that? All right, take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to read a real fairly long passage of Scripture. I might jump and skip around a little bit. I'd like to read all the verses between verse 12 and 21. Let me see if I can get through them quickly here. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is in the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which would receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to the condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Glory to God. That's added. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life, by Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to know something. Because one man sinned, death came to all people. But by the righteousness of one, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, many were made righteous. Just as one man blew it for everybody, the God-man made it possible for everybody. That's what Romans 5 is talking about here. But I want you to know there is a sentence of death because of sin. Now, take your Bible, Romans chapter 7, just a couple pages over. Romans chapter 7, look at verse number 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Skip down to verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Wow. So our body has a death sentence placed upon it because of sin. Folks, our body, from the time we are conceived, we call it, we're given life. But our human life is really a measure of death, not life. From the moment you take your first breath till you take your last breath, you're on a journey towards death. It's a measure of death, not a measure of life. So our body has been cursed by sin. This body must die because of the curse of sin. When we get to heaven, the curse of sin and death will fall away and be gone. That means this. When you die, or when the rapture takes place and you go to heaven, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to meet the ever-loving Lord in the skies. Now watch this. We drop the robe of flesh. We drop the sinful knowledge. We drop the knowledge of evil. We drop the knowledge of death. That means anything else that's left that is truth, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, be any virtue, be any praise, think on these things. It's the word of God and truth. Those things will remain. That's what we enter heaven with. Just because you die does not give you perfect knowledge. All right? Our knowledge of sin will be gone. Look at Romans chapter 8. You're probably just across the page from it. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number, let's start in verse 1. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, that's thinking, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, that which is spiritually minded is what we will retain at death. That which is based on spirituality, the Bible, truth, we will remain. That means, okay, it's a truth that Wiley, big and ugly. Now, wait a minute. That's a truth. I'll know Wiley because he is a true person when I get to heaven, if he gets there. At this rate, Mung's going to send him their way on ahead. Amen. Now, I will know him. We're not going to be a bunch of spooks floating in a vacuum somewhere. It's not a figment of our imagination. We will be known as we are known. Wiley will still be Wiley in heaven, just not sinful Wiley. He'll be a sinless Wiley. Boy, I can't wait. We will have the same personality that we have, and we'll keep our spiritual knowledge. We'll drop our carnal knowledge, our knowledge of sin, death, and carnality. That's what we'll drop at death or the rapture. The loss of sinful thinking, though, does not mean that we gain all perfect knowledge. Just because you lose the sinful knowledge doesn't mean God says, okay, let me plug in, and you know everything I know. Then we're all God. And that's not the way he made us. So our body is sentenced to death. We have a curse on this body. Number two, death is the journey from the sinful life to the eternal life or eternal death. Death is a journey. It's to the next life, either eternal life or eternal death. Death is the final payment on sin. Have you ever made payments on something and finally made the last payment?
Amen.
Y'all know what that feels like. Yeah, buddy. You finally get through that last payment. And you say, it's mine. Usually it's broken down by then. Just like our body. Death is the last payment on our sin. Death is that final payment on sin. Death does not open deity to anything. It only pays the bill on our sin. Just because you die doesn't mean you become like God. Death is not the process of getting all knowledge, all power, and being like God. Death is the payment on your sin so that you can have eternal life, or if you die without Christ, you have eternal death and punishment in hell. All right, now, we will not change personality or who we are. We'll just drop our sin nature. As I said, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 12, talks about we shall be known as we are known here. I don't know if Brother Stoltz will have more hair in heaven. I doubt Brother Joe will. He's going to reflect the light of Jesus onto the gold street so that we have more light up there, amen? I have no idea. I do know this, though. We will know each other as we are known here on earth. Brother Fred's still going to be ornery Brother Fred. He just won't have a sin nature. He'll be able to do it without sinning and bothering everybody. I mean, I've asked God, though, to put him on the other side of heaven from me. I've asked him to put him right next door to Brother Joe. Now, we don't change personality because we die. When Brother Hiles died and went to heaven, I don't think his personality changed. When my grandparents died, I don't think their personality changed. My wife and I were digging through a closet the other day and found this photo album that her mom put together. Lord, that thing is as old. Those pictures should not be seen. I mean, we were kids back then. I mean, there's pictures of my wife when she was a child. We were children when we got married, it looked like. I mean, first married, our babies when they were first born and different things. Unbelievable. My daughter was laughing as we were looking through this. I'm thinking, man, this is ancient history here. Our personalities won't change. When I do a funeral, I try to capture somebody's personality. You say, why? Because I believe God uses that personality in heaven. I really believe that. We don't change who we are. We just drop the sinful part of what we are and our knowledge of sin and death. Death is not the end of life. Death is the end of sinful life. Let me say that again. Death is not the end of life. Death is the end of sinful life. Everybody understand? Now, here's the bad thing. People that die in their sin will die. They'll live death forever in hell. And death and hell were cast into lake fire. This is the second death. Dying once is going to be bad enough. Can you imagine dying twice? You know how you dread death once. Can you imagine having to face eternal death? That just doesn't make sense to me. So, death is the final payment on sin, but it is not the end of life. And I'm going to finish up with this point and be done, hopefully, a few minutes early. All right? Next. We will have a spiritual mind, not a carnal mind, and not an omniscient mind. Now, the word omniscient is a Greek word. Omni, meaning all. Nishant, or Shint, meaning knowing. We're not going to have an all-knowing mind. We will not have a carnal mind, but we will have a spiritual mind. Go back to Romans chapter 8, if you're not there already. I want you to notice, look at verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is, what's that word? Death. Is there any death in heaven?
No.
Huh. That means we can't have a carnal mind. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That means this. We practice for heaven down here by getting a spiritual mind here on earth. Some of our Baptist brethren who are going the intellectual route and not a spiritual route are going to be sadly disappointed when they get to heaven and they're not going to get up and exegete the scriptures to God. They think they can teach you a lot of facts about this book, but they don't live a spiritual life. They talk a spiritual talk, but it's not a true spiritual life. Living a spiritual life is humility. I told my wife this offer that has come our way to help us with our building program. I said, I'm excited, I'm scared to death, and I'm humbled. I don't even know how to feel. I've laughed, I've cried, I've jumped up and down and praised God. I've fell on my knees, flat on my face, crying, sobbing at my desk. It's been crazy. You say, why? It's scary. It's exciting. It's faith becoming sight. But that means when faith becomes sight, faith gets bigger and there's more things to get done. Oh, Lord, here we go. I understand it. It's okay. But when we get a spiritual mind, spirituality does not think about carnal things. Carnal meaning fleshly. Appetites of the flesh. In our flesh is sinful. We have sinful fleshly appetites. And by the way, that doesn't mean everything that your flesh wants is bad, but when it wants it over spirituality, that's when it becomes bad. And when we feed it more than we feed the spirit, that's when it becomes wrong. We have a sensually addicted society that is addicted to carnality and sensualism. But God gave us that ability for a certain reason, and it's right in certain situations. Between a husband and wife, it's right. Outside that, keep your cotton hands off each other. Period. Can you imagine how much better this country would be if we didn't sell alcohol? If we didn't have the porn industry? If our news would report news and not lies and not make news? If we didn't have drugs that were legal? And I'm talking about marijuana and all this other stuff. And if we had true justice, can you imagine what this world would be like? And that's with a bunch of sinners. Imagine with nobody able to think about sin, what life would be like. He said, preacher, that's what heaven would be to me. And that's what heaven will be. It is a spiritual mind. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to finish up with this passage and make a few statements and be done. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse number 42. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Wow. We are shown in corruption, we will resurrect, or we will die and go to heaven, or we'll be raptured in incorruption. Our bodies at the rapture will change from a natural body to a spiritual body. Our mind will be changed from a carnal mind to a spiritual mind, but it doesn't say that you get all knowledge. It just says you have a spiritual mind that has no knowledge of sin, death, or evil. So when you die, you don't get to heaven and go, Shazam, I know everything God knows. No. We will all learn. We will all grow. Let me give you one example, and I'll be done. Take your Bible to Revelation chapter 4. I want to show you something here. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. After this, now this is in reference to the rapture. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Watch this. Watch this next statement. And I will show thee things which must be when?
Hereafter.
In other words, you didn't know it was coming. That's knowledge. God is going to teach us what we do not know, what is coming hereafter. You will have a mind that is learning. When you get there, you're not going to say, I know exactly what's coming because I know everything. No, God will teach it to us. You say, well, preacher, talks about that people will talk about being redeemed. Yes, they know they have been saved, but they will have no knowledge of what their sin was. That means this, a person like me that grew up in church and got saved at 4.5 years old will be just as redeemed as Brother Stoltz, who didn't get saved till he was in his 20s, living like a devil and a nasty old dirty dog and long-haired maggot-infested drunkard. Guess what? We got redeemed the same way.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what the background was or what the sin was, we both were sinners. And in heaven, it won't matter because we won't have any knowledge of what that sin was. He won't have his picture of a long-haired Brother Stoltz with a big bushy beard. He just wishes he could have any hair right now. Wait a minute. In heaven, we'll talk about being redeemed because we know we have been saved, but we'll have no knowledge of our sin. That will be dropped and gone. And by the way, it doesn't mean he was a worse sinner than I was. We both had the same sentence on our sin. So it doesn't matter what the sin was. It doesn't matter that I got saved at 4 and Fred didn't get saved till he was 104. 77? Something like that. Yeah, something like that. He doesn't even know how old he is. He's so old. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Just because you go to heaven doesn't mean you know everything. I hate to disappoint you. That means this. Our time on earth is vital for us to learn spiritual things so that we're practiced up for heaven. Can I tell you something? I hope that when the rapture takes place, I don't have to change stride. I hope I don't have to go to non-credit classes.
Yes, amen.
Anybody who went to college knows what I'm talking about. One of the first things you do is take an English test to see if you pass out a non-credit English. Yeah, we called it bonehead English. I passed out of bonehead English. I went to English 101. I had a teacher, God bless her heart, Mrs. Flesher. Good lady, good English teacher. About 3 weeks in, I was acing everything. She looked at me, she said, Brother Bush, could you stay after class? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you know this stuff quite well. I said, I had that book last year in high school. You did? I said, I did. She said, what all can you do? I said, what do you mean? She said, well, do you know how to do this and this? Yes, 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 yes. She said, diagram this for me. I started diagramming, sentence analysis, diagram. She said, can you help me? She said, this class is full of married men. there was about 40 people in that class. There was about 10 or 15 girls. There was about 10 freshman guys, and the rest of it was married men. She said, "Would you mind helping me teach these married men? I feel very uncomfortable." I said, "I'd be glad to." I taught English 101 and English 102 to the married guys. That's how I got my credit for English. I taught it. I didn't take it. Amen. I'm not kidding. I got the sophomore English. I had a different teacher. I had a pretty boy from California that was my teacher. I actually had to sit there. Man, this is boring. I'd rather teach it than take it. Yes, sir. Wait a minute. I don't want to take bonehead classes in heaven. I want to be able to just keep on going. I want to keep stride. And that ought to be our goal as a Christian. By the way, that's why you need Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church. That's why we ought to be at church every chance we get. That's why we ought to read our Bible every day. Say, it's just not sticking. It goes in, I promise you. As the old preacher said, you might not be able to hold water in a basket, but when you get done, you'll have a cleaner basket. It might go through like a sieve, but you'll have a clean one at least when you get there. Let's just keep pumping it in, and that's what God wants for us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Hate to disappoint you. When you die and go to heaven, you don't have perfect knowledge. You don't have omniscience. You don't have an all-knowing mind. You will enter heaven at the same spiritual level you leave earth. That's what God teaches us. Stand to our feet as the piano begins to play.